What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man, I love you on The Score, man. It's so awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already two touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We've got a couple of texters complaining that we're not giving weather updates. It is freezing cold.
Yes.
It is... -7 on my phone, which is the greatest thermometer I own, and it says it feels like -19. So bundle up, and the low today will be -8. We're almost at the low. It could get as high as 2 degrees.
Steve. Yes, it could get that high. That would be balmy. But do yourself a favor. I'm watching and looking out below. We're on the 9th floor, and I see people not wearing a hat. Put a hat on.
No, you need a hat. You
put
need
a hat
a coat.
On.
Get your warmest clothes on.
Yes.
And don't walk outside. All right. With enough of our public service announcements. We are delighted to welcome in Jarrett Payton. He's wearing a hat, for God's sake. The Score Hotline brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Jarrett, good morning. Hope you're bundled warm.
Wayne Hall, what's going on? I have to wear a hat, man. I have no hair. So, I mean, I'm wearing a hat, gloves, all that stuff. I'm warming the car before I get outside. But, man, I can't wait for football season to come back around with the news we got yesterday.
Yeah, it's warm in our hearts hearing that the Bears have gotten the hottest young coach on the market. And that is what happened. They didn't bring him in for a second interview. The guy was available. They went out and hired him, and they're paying top dollar, and they're doing un-Bear-like things like getting this done early and paying money to do so.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I love it. I'm excited about the hire. I've been really critical of just the front office of making decisions and saying that they needed to get this right. And I tweeted it out yesterday, like, they did what everybody was hoping that they would do. And so even in those times of being critical, I do give a lot of credit to Kevin Warren, Mr. McCaskey, and then also Ryan Poles for getting this done, because there was those opportunities for him. And I can only imagine what if you were really, truly having phone calls with Tom Brady, and he's calling you, he's the GOAT, and he's telling you, like, yo, come to Las Vegas. We can do some special things. But he decided to stay in the division and to come here to Chicago. So they did exactly what they needed to do to be able to bring him in. So kudos to them.
So if you're in a room with Ben Johnson or his representatives or however you want to describe that first meeting, what do you think you would tell him is the number one priority or the top list of priorities as the new Bears head coach?
Oh, that's a good one, Dave. I mean, I think it's coming in and really assessing all the things that kind of need to be fixed. There's a reason why you're the new head coach. You got things to fix around here. So I think a priority in everybody's mind, I think the one thing is fixing the offense and trying to get the best out of Caleb Williams. And I think that was a big factor for Ben Johnson. I think him and the conversations that I've heard just through people that I know, and then just what we've seen on the surface and videos, that the two really kind of admire each other and what they both do in their respective being a coach and also being a player. And so I think it's trying to find ways to unlock his greatness. I think he's got it. And I think Ben Johnson sees it and he knows exactly what he wants to do. I think what's more interesting to me is does Ben Johnson look at Ryan Poles and say, listen, I'm coming only on one thing. We got to fix this offensive line. Like, I can't do what I do until we fix up front. And so I think that had to be a conversation. But for Ben, I think it's really just fixing this offense, finding someone like a Dennis Allen to be able to that has head coaching experience to be able to help you on the defensive side. But I don't not just help you on the defensive side, but also in those times of need when you are a first-time head coach and you have questions, at least there's somebody that you can lean on that's on the defensive side but also has that experience. Because there are going to be some things that you're going to have to ask, so someone to lean on. And I think just kind of figuring this thing out on all three phases, because as much as we talk about offense, we got to also remember as a head coach, you've got to be able to manage all three phases of the game. And then on your defensive side, I think it all starts in the trenches on both sides of the football. You got to get better. And if you can get better there, it gives you an opportunity to be playing in the meaningful games of football when it gets cold outside.
Yeah, we've had a long conversation about it, and we have agreed that obviously Caleb is a huge selling point, as is the fact that he has developed game plans in the division for the opponents. He knows Detroit really well. There's a familiarity there for him, but without a quarterback, I think you're looking at a real uphill climb, and he clearly values Caleb Williams. What else can you say about it? And you know, as you say, Caleb has expressed, great respect for Ben Johnson. So here's hoping that those two guys get along and really do some good things together.
And Molly, I was just thinking about something else, Dave, to add to your question. But I think about this, where we always talk about, and I've been talking about it, where you're taking the hottest offensive mind in the game right now that everybody wanted, but also a division foe and what they do on offense. You're taking them away from there. But I think you also have a guy, Dave, who, when you look at it, well, you were talking about he knows these defenses. He knows your defense.
Yeah.
He knows the holes of your defense. And I think that's critical, Dave, to your question about how do you get it right, not just on offense, but on defense. He's seen it. He's ran against your defense. He knows the holes. He's beaten your defense. So I feel like that's going to be another added bonus to be able to fix on the defensive side what you need as well. So to me, all around good hire. It's not just about Ben John. That's the big part now. You got that big part. The coach is a huge part in this. Now it really is. A lot of this falls on the shoulders of Ryan Poles, his staff, of really finding ways with the cap room that they have, a cap available to them, that they can go out and figure this thing out the right way and to put the pieces to the puzzle that need to kind of get this thing moving in the right direction.
Jarrett, knowing the organization and the characters involved as well as you do, what do you think is the biggest reason the Bears bucked convention and did things in a different way than we're used to seeing? They are hiring somebody who they have, by all accounts, not met in person. They're not only agreeing to employ him as a head coach, but they're paying him an exorbitant amount of money based on their previous history. After committing $9 million to pay to Matt Eberflus to go away, this is a financial commitment unlike any they've ever made. What do you think is driving all this, and how surprised are you?
I was a little surprised just by when I heard the news, because I knew that it was going to be a commitment, and I knew with Ben Johnson being on the market, he was going to command some top dollar money, and that's the case. And we're not used to that. Totally understand. It hasn't been like that here in Chicago, but Dave, I really think it's they want to win. And I think they were hearing the noise on the outside. Hence the reason why they fired Matt Eberflus, something that they've never done to a coach in a long time. So it's like a lot of these things that are all coming to a head where they were like, we got to get out of this Trace Armstrong hold, and we got to figure out a way to turn this thing around. And I commend them and applaud them on that, because this is not the norm. But from the beginning, I knew that this was their number one candidate that they really, really wanted. And they went out and got him. Like, they went out and got him. And my biggest concern was, what are you selling other than Caleb? What are you selling? Because there hasn't been a lot of winning here. So most of the time we're selling the past, which is the 85 Bears and what is done years ago. And what else is there? And there's something that Ben Johnson saw and that he heard in those conversations, where how long it was, how short it was, that he felt like, this is the place for me. And sometimes that's the hardest part, is selling yourself to somebody else. And as much as it was Ben Johnson selling himself, I think it was really the Bears trying to sell who they were and what their vision is for the future. And Ben Johnson said, I want to be a part of that. I want to help get this thing back on track. And so I commend them for not doing the norm, because the norm hasn't worked. And now it's time to do something different. And it's rare that in this town, like for the Bears,
yeah,
to see them, you know, have the number one guy that's out there that everybody wants, and they get him. It's saying something to how they sold this thing to Ben Johnson.
Yeah, in a weird way, he's their Craig Counsell, right? Just in turn, yeah. Not with previous experience, but you're willing to pay top dollar for a guy who you want to take over your team and turn it around and change some things. It's kind of incredible when you think of it in those terms. That, I mean, this is the highest paid guy in town. It's incredible.
It is, man. And offensively, what he's been able to do, his resume, when you just look at his resume and his offenses since he's with the OC and yeah, and Detroit, I mean, it's how can you not be excited? How can you not be happy? I've said this before, the biggest thing now is to get him assembled in some way of building a roster that's kind of similar. It's hard to be similar to what they have in Detroit, but you got to start somewhere and start building this thing so he can do what he does. And that's to me, a lot of the pressure is going to be on Ryan Poles. I mean, and hopefully they can do it together, but they can figure out a way to be able to construct this roster the way that he wants to be able to kind of, you know, put his stamp on it here in Chicago. But I mean, we offensive minded guys, man, like I would love to play for Ben Johnson. I'm just telling you right now, the creative ways that he can scheme, it's going to be something different. And I think the relationship between him and Caleb, man, that has the potential to be special. It really does. It has the potential to be special. And Caleb knows it. Ben knows it. What he's done for Jared Goff has been amazing, but the talents that Caleb has, he's still untapped. And so I'm hoping that they do. This past year, it looked like they gave him too much leeway, too much, like, here you go. It wasn't just too much on his plate, and it's a lot as a rookie, but it was like, here, do what you do. Like, you're good. Now, I wanted to pull it back a little bit, get this run game going for him, And just play simple football, man. Like, run the football, smash mouse, and then play action pass, do what he does, and let him use his feet, get to the outside, make passes like we've seen, especially when he rolls out and he can make those unbelievable off-balance throws. Like, keep it simple, man. Keep it simple and let him kind of develop and grow, because I think – the stages, he's still got many floors to unlock. It's like a video game. He's just on level one right now. Can he keep unlocking these levels to keep going up? Because I feel like last year, this past season, it was like him, you know, when you play Contra, and you used to do, if you played Contra on the old Nintendo, you could do a code to give you like 50 lives before. That's what he did this past season. I want to take that away and work his way up the stages so he can be great.
If you believed after Caleb Williams' rookie season that there were parts of his routine that needed to be improved, and those were some of the whispers you're hearing coming out of Halas Hall at times. Don't know if they're fair, Jarrett. I don't know if they're accurate, but we do know that they're there. Does this make him more diligent, work harder, or does he look at this and as maybe an endorsement of the way that he has done things because he's good enough or he has looked good enough for Ben Johnson to think that he's worth coming to Chicago to coach?
Well, I think at some point when I've never been first overall pick, never won a Heisman Trophy. I can only imagine in this NIL era coming from college to the NFL, already got money in your pocket. Most of the time, like I've seen it in other situations where guys come and, you know, this is back before the NIL days where guys were coming in feeling like I'm already established. I'm already here. And that's not how it works in the NFL. And I think for him, it was just maybe the way that he was handled by people around him. I'm not just saying not his family. I'm just talking about maybe how the organization kind of handled him as a rookie. I think that's why Thomas Brown, it seemed evident that he was not afraid to tell Caleb when he was wrong. And sometimes, you know, knowing myself as a parent, that's what you have to do to a young kid to your young kids. You got to tell them sometimes, listen, no, that's not how you do it. Sometimes people are afraid to do that because of maybe just how the situation kind of started in Chicago here for him. So I think it's really ratcheting it back a little bit, Dave. I think he's going to work. I think now he understands. And I also think, too, when you're drafted, you look in the draft class and the guys that come out with you, and especially as quarterbacks, the dudes that went 1 and 2, the guy that's number two that went number two is still playing football right now. And I think people are talking about him as being the best quarterback in that class. And I think that's going to motivate Caleb a little bit. Because that's the whisper. That's all I've been hearing. I posted, and I did this intentionally after the Washington game. I posted, Jaden Daniels is a star. And I wanted to see the comments that were coming. I do these things intentionally, man. And I just saw the remarks. Oh, maybe we got the wrong quarterback. This and this. And I'm like, all right, I'm hoping that Caleb sees this stuff. And I know he sees it. And knowing what I know about him as a competitor, I'm hoping it's going to drive him to stay in the lab, keep getting better. And now that he has someone that truly probably understands him as an offensive mind, that they can figure out the things that he does well, the things that he needs to work on. And hopefully Ben Johnson can figure that out and be that voice of reason for him offensively, that all these quarterbacks around the league that are taking it to a next level, they have that person that they can talk to, that they can confide in when it comes to the offense and football. Hopefully Ben Johnson can be that for Caleb Williams because he does have these special talents. It better be his motivating factor to want to get better every single year. I believe that's him. I believe he's a guy that's going to get in the lab and take his game to another level.
So, Jarrett, speaking of getting in the lab, this is a guy who is a mathematician. He majored in math and computer science. He's around Dan Campbell. That guy is Mr. Gopher on fourth down. Given his background in analytics, do you anticipate him taking chances on fourth downs, being aggressive with the offense?
Oh, I definitely do. I think he's going to be. That's when you're around something for so long, you always try. Normally, you bring something with you when you're around somebody who, you know, like a Dan Campbell, or if you're a GM, you've been a new GM and you've been in the organization, you see how things are done. I think he's going to. I think it's gonna take some time, though. I think this is a process. This doesn't fix all the issues. But I think as you get to a certain point where you feel comfortable with your scheme, you feel comfortable with your personnel, that you can do those things. And that's where the Lions are. But that's built through trust. And that's what Dan Campbell has done. He's built that through trust and his relationship with the guys inside of his locker room, that when he says we're going for it on fourth down, that not only does he believe that they're going to get it, the guys on that field believe they're going to get it. So I think over time, as you build that trust and Ben Johnson builds that trust, then, yeah, I think that's something we'll see him do. But I think that's probably the biggest question mark here that everybody is waiting to see. We know he's a great offensive mind. We know he's a mastermind when it comes to coming up with plays and scheming stuff. I think his biggest hurdle is, not even know if it's a hurdle, but a thing that we'll have to see is, how does he command a whole entire team? Right. How does he command that locker room? And can he find a way to not only be present with his guys on the offensive side, but how is he present with all three phases of football?
Great stuff, Jared. Different. Thank you, buddy.
See you, guys.
See ya.
Jared.
That's Jared Payton. You're listening to Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, I get down here to Superdome, I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning, I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clog the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. And so, I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Here we go. And so, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So I'm like, really? This is really how we're going to start my day? So, listen, there was moments during the game. You know, I'm so wrapped up in the in my routine. There was moments today where, like, I'm almost forgetting. I'm just going through my routine, and I'm kind of forgetting that that I'm the head coach a couple times. All true.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is a man speaking of his morning constitution.
As Darren Rizzi, who was talking about his first experience as the interim head coach of the Saints. Why are we hearing from Darren Rizzi? He is part of the supposed star-studded staff.
Star-studded.
That's what Adam Schefter referred to it as on Twitter. Don't tell Mike Florio. But Darren Rizzi is a candidate to be the special teams coordinator with the Bears. He's also a candidate to join the staffs at either Las Vegas or Denver, depending on what happens as a head coaching candidate. So he may be on the way. Dennis Allen reportedly is on the way to become the defensive coordinator. But let's face it, the biggest question and what you want to hear next is what Ben Johnson has to say for himself, why he took this job, in his own words. And I guess we'll hear from him as early as tomorrow?
Yes. He's apparently coming in today.
Okay.
but he will be available presumably for a news conference tomorrow.
That would be sensible. That would be timely. And that will answer some questions that we have, because the thing that is hardest to grasp is what made the Bears stand out, because it wasn't something that was obvious to anyone but Kevin Warren that this was the most coveted job. There were roadblocks that we saw, and maybe they were more imagined than real, but they didn't dissuade Ben Johnson from taking the job. And I think, as we keep on saying, the biggest reason was the talent here, and that being Caleb Williams. The quarterback was the biggest lure for the job.
I don't want to overreact to anything, because a year ago, the Bears drafted Caleb Williams and they got Rome Odunze, and we came in here and we talked about, wow, and it wasn't a year ago, but it was last April, wow, they drafted touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And now they sign a coach who led an offense into the top five scoring offenses in 3 years as coordinator in Detroit. And they led the NFL in points scored. They were averaging 32 points a game this season. So I don't want to overreact and say that they have signed points until they stabilize the offensive line. I think that is the first task that needs to be performed until you can really say, yeah, I mean, like,
that is the lesson of 2024.
Yes, it is.
That's a takeaway from last year. You don't want to assume things will be true, because you have to avoid falling in love with some of the toys, the talent level, because you can have all the skill position talent in the world, but if you can't protect the passer or run the football, you're going to be limited in how you take advantage of that talent.
And like, let's be honest about it. When you look at the Lions, one of the things that we talked with Jared Payton about is that, hey, this is a team that loves to go for it on fourth down. This is a team that will take chances. Well, this is also a team with Penei Sewell at right tackle, and he is a one-man battering ram. He can get you a yard when you need one, and the Bears aren't there yet. They don't have the running game, nor do they have the sure thing offensive lineman that you can follow to a yard. I'm just being honest.
They don't, nor do they have the offensive lineman you might trust to throw a pass.
Oh, God. Yeah,
remember that?
That was a little cutesy.
That was a little cutesy. That he was, got cutesy a couple times with the Bears. Cutesy. Once when they had Penei Sewell throwing a pass, and once when they did the, what was the name of that play where they faked falling?
Oh, yeah, the
stumble bum?
The drunken stumble.
The drunken stumble bum.
It was a stumble
bum. The stumble bum with Jared Goff fell, yeah. and Jahmyr Gibbs fell, and then all of a sudden they found Laporta alone in the end zone, went ran to a spot, great play execution and design. So, but you have to walk before you can run. I think everyone would take simply protecting the passer, establishing the run, and our guy Dan Pompey suggests that is exactly what Ben Johnson will emphasize. He says on Twitter, Ben Johnson, low on ego, but big on analytics. He thinks creatively and will emphasize the run game and protections. Johnson will have a vision for what he wants to do with Caleb. He's likely to empower Caleb offensively. He gave Goff authority with protection adjustments that not all quarterbacks have, and eliminated plays that Goff also didn't love.
Yeah, they also have three all-pro linemen.
I get it. I know. The Bears don't.
No.
But you have to start with a general philosophy, because what you have in terms of a philosophy will dictate the type of players you seek and how fixated you are on those players. So if you are all about run game and protections, you ideally, to take that a step further, in free agency, you're prioritizing offensive line help. In the draft, you're prioritizing offensive line help, because if you are seeking four starters on your offensive line, which I think this is conservatively, that's what the Bears, realistically,
yeah,
that's what the Bears are looking
that's
at.
That's fair.
So you're going to try to at least maybe get three of those this offseason and live with the fourth guy. This tells you what they will be seeking.
You also need a power running back?
Well, I think, I don't know, and I hate to answer it that way. We'll talk about how the need will be to upgrade DeAndre Swift. I think you might need to upgrade Roschon Johnson.
Well,
because if DeAndre Swift is your Jahmyr Gibbs, you can see him being that component. He's not as explosive as Gibbs. I'm not saying he's better than him, but he is that kind of style of a back. What you need is a downhill guy, a guy that's going to get you the tough yard, which I think that has been overlooked. Roschon Johnson wasn't healthy enough to be that big of a factor. DeAndre Swift was being asked to do things that maybe he wasn't really ideally suited to do.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, we look at this because Ben Johnson and the Lions, I need to explore this further. It's something that's kind of been a little bit overlooked. Did they discard DeAndre Swift or let him go when he was a Lion? When Ben Johnson took over and had more autonomy or power as a play caller, was that the opening the door of DeAndre Swift to let him in go through it because they didn't fit, because they didn't like him? What was that all about? Because you know what? He's here and under contract.
He's here. He's under contract. He was in Philly last year.
Yeah.
He was
for 1 year.
In Philly for 1 year.
1 year.
So that would mean that Ben Johnson was there when they got rid of him.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
so I want to know what went into that decision. What was that relationship like? Did Ben Johnson not see him as an ideal fit for whatever reason? But I think that DeAndre Swift, because of the contract realities and also the skill set, I think he can be a compliment, or somebody else could be a compliment for him in a way that maybe Roschon Johnson wasn't consistently enough.
That's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about him at all, but the guy likes to run the ball. The guy likes to pass the ball. The guy is an offensive guy. They got to get line help, period, end of story, if they're going to make the kind of impact that you want them to make, which is touchdowns.
Touchdowns. Also, prepare yourself for this. It's opening day, first game, week one, Bears versus whoever, and it's 4th and 5 at your own 41-yard line, and it's the first quarter, and it's nothing.
And you got a fourth-round punter.
And you got a punter who's a weapon
coming
off a really good season, and you're going to go for it.
Yeah.
You're going to go for it because all Ben Johnson is doing, he's not really paying attention to the game as much as he is his analytics chart, and he's got somebody in his ear in the booth, and he's saying, well, you know what? We're going for it here because of this percentage, and you know what? This is the play that we're going to run because Ben Johnson has done the math.
He's too mathy is what you're saying.
No. I'm not saying he's too mathy.
He's so mathy.
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to resist that guy, being that guy.
He talks in math.
Oh, he does. But you know what? This is the new NFL. I think we didn't see it as much with Flusi and Waldron or Flusi and Getsy and Flusi and whoever, because the last 3 years have been just colossal disappointment after colossal disappointment. With Ben Johnson, you trust those decisions and that instinct and that intelligence, essentially, more than we did before. He is the smartest guy in the room.
Wow.
He is.
I hope so.
Well, he's got the math credentials to back it up. He majored in math. Wasn't he? Didn't he have the only perfect score in some math test as a youth? He's got all the credentials. He majored in math at North Carolina. He was a walk-on quarterback.
Yeah, he walked on. He was like a pretty good high school quarterback. I think he started as a junior and won a state title or something like that.
Yep.
Then he was like the player of the year in North Carolina, but he didn't get recruited. He walked on at North Carolina where he met one of the men that really influenced his life, John Shoup.
That name will resonate with a lot of Bears fans of a certain age.
Encouraged him to become a coach.
He did.
Because he was a backup quarterback.
John Shoup was a very instrumental figure in his life, and I think that's interesting because of John Shoup's place in Bears history. Offensive coordinator back in the 2001 season under Dick Turan, really scrutinized and booed out of town, essentially, when he was fired after the 2003 season. John Shoup has a great relationship with Ben Johnson. John Shoup, in a text yesterday, told me this: Ben is as fine of a person as I know. And John Shoup, now the head coach of the Nordic Storm in the European League of Football.
Really? I didn't even know there was a Nordic Storm.
I didn't either. And I apologize to him for not knowing that.
But are we undergoing right now? Are we living through a Nordic Storm?
It feels that way. It's a bit chilly in the studio, even more than usual. Bernstein's going to have a cow when he walks in. Like, he's going to have to turn up the heat immediately. But I digress. John Shoup, he's close with Ben Johnson. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe, I don't know, did they discuss Chicago along the way? If he was one of my mentors, that might come up. Maybe not, but he did wish him well, and he does speak highly of him. There are other guys along the way. It sounds like Dan Campbell was really instrumental in Ben Johnson's development as a coach from Miami to Detroit, and a lot of commonalities along the way. And now it's going to be interesting to see that rivalry evolve, because it's going to be teacher versus pupil, and Ben Johnson is going to have his hands full.
He's going to be he's going to be smarter.
Well, both
than the other guy.
Those games are going to be interesting because, you know, who's going to punt?
Yeah,
who's going to punt first?
Who's got the intelligence to punt?
Or the moxie not to?
What do you think of them? I mean, seriously, I would imagine that they have known that Ben Johnson was leaving for quite some time. He nearly left last year, and they knew this was his last year there. So I'm sure Dan Campbell has ideas of who's going to be promoted from within or brought in from outside. And as we mentioned, Aaron Glenn heading to the Jets tomorrow, they could be losing both their coordinators. Do you think that Dan Campbell tries to undercut Ben Johnson and sneak in and take Dennis Allen away from the Bears?
Well, it's an interesting question. And if you're Dennis Allen.
You thought I was going somewhere else.
I did.
You didn't think it was going to be interesting.
No.
That hurts, David.
Well, no, I do think it's interesting because Dennis Allen and Dan Campbell were teammates in college at Texas A&M.
They're the buddies.
And you wonder if you're Dennis Allen, why would you go to Chicago rather than Detroit, where there could be an opening? And maybe the finality or making it official in Chicago will be delayed if Aaron Glenn indeed is the next head coach of the New York Jets.
Do you think that Campbell and Allen acknowledge that Mike Evans is the greatest player in Texas A&M history?
Only after Johnny Manziel.
No, he Mike Evans.
I know
won
you say
Johnny
that.
Manziel a Heisman.
I think, straight. Okay, I think he probably did, and his NFL career that followed justifies that kind of hyperbole. It helped.
I'm not given to hyperbole.
Johnny Football was Johnny Football in college. He was one of those guys, like last night we saw, a guy who was a tremendous college quarterback that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be good in the NFL. We saw Will Howard and Riley Leonard really compete last night in the national championship game. Neither one of them are guys that I think will transition into NFL quarterbacks. Neither did Johnny Manziel. So, no, I'm not willing to go that far. Mike Evans, I will say this, he's a Hall of Famer. So that's a good call. But yeah, it's nothing to do with Dan Campbell.
Okay. I just thought I'd, you know, take you on a little journey.
We have to get out to transition, but I will think a lot about this coaching situation in the NFC North, about who will Ben Johnson compare to most. Will it be a guy like Matt LaFleur? A guy like Kevin O'Connell.
That's great.
Those are great comps. Or will he be, he's got to be, as we said coming in, he's got to be more McVay than McDaniels when you talk about an offensive coordinator becoming a head coach.
I think that's unfair to McDaniels because there's only one McVay. Not even the flower is McVay. And you love that flower.
I do like the flower. If the flower is the comp, then the Bears made an outstanding hire yesterday.
Oh, God. All right. We've got it's a Layla Tuesday?
Yeah, it is.
And we'll talk to Marshall as well.
It's Layla week.
And I think Dan is going to be around as well.
Okay. Well, right now be the sixth caller to this course contest line before we get to that. 312-540-0670. You can win a pair of tickets to see Chris Stapleton's All-American Roadshow.
Love that song.
Special guest, The War in Treaty, Saturday, June 28th. The second show added because of the interest at Credit Union One Amphitheater, Tinley Park. Tickets at LiveNation.com. 312-540-0670.
Second show added because of that song.
Yes.
All right. We'll talk to them next. Mully and Hall on the score.